This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. It is a Wednesday, bright and early. It's just after six. We're here to look after you. By we, I mean, let me see. Just going around the room, we've got Ben Karpinski.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Ben. You can find him on his YouTube channel.
Wow, you there's some stuff coming on there soon.
Listen, I bumped into someone at a party on Sunday night, and they said, loving what Ben's doing. I loved that thing with the nice Aussies, not nice Aussies. And someone else mentioned the one with you cutting all the bits out of the interviews of the Aussies trying to make excuses for themselves.
Yeah,
those press
Aussies.
Conferences, very, very good stuff. So Aussies have given Ben a lot of material there.
I've got to start working hard again. That's exactly what I want to do.
Gord Laws is here. Good morning, Gord.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you feeling?
I was just telling you off air that I'm old, fat, in decay, and rapidly falling to pieces. Gosh. But otherwise, I'm good. How are you guys?
And you sound like you live in Alberton.
I'm croaky as, man.
What happened?
Oh, man. I just lost my voice. Well, I had like a chesty thing, and then it was going away. But then on the weekend, I yelled a lot during a glorious football match, and then went to a braai. And the following day, I couldn't talk at all. Monday, I could like talk like 10%. And now I'm probably at about 50, 60%.
Of course, there weren't any glorious football matches over the weekend.
Of course not. Of course not, Ben.
And Sia Sangweni.
Oh.
Good morning. Sia Sangweni, a judge at the Prism Awards yesterday.
Who's feeling much better than Gord, evidently.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much.
Yay.
And trust me, Sia's a hypochondriac. If he can find something to moan about, he will. So if he says he's feeling better than
Nope. Heart's still beating. Can breathe through my nose. Okay, yeah, I'm fine. No liver failure coming up.
Can you bend over and touch your knees to your elbows?
Oh, girl.
Where is Mubs? I don't see Mabale. Her chair is vacant. Where is she?
Still have asked her. She's running late. Okay.
All right.
I find Sia to be a ray of sunshine. I don't know where your negativity about his hypochondria comes from.
No, it's not negativity. It's like a... We're expecting, there's a certain layer of anxiety that you have to peel off.
Yes.
Like Courage the Cowardly Dog. Well-meaning and endearing, but a little bit anxious all the time.
Like Eeyore as well.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you know, Sia's not like Eeyore. Eeyore is depressed.
He's sad. Yeah, Eeyore doesn't bring a, he doesn't have the other pole. He's unipolar. Yeah.
Listen.
Mabale woke up late.
You think about those.
All right.
You think about those people who grew up with all of these cartoons and how much they affect the way that you think about the world. I was a major cartoon watcher when I was a kid.
There's a
major.
Yeah, there's a fake news story that bounces around the internet that all of those characters represent different like mental disorders.
Yeah, so we've had that discussion.
Yeah. It's just that they weren't really all diagnosed or identified at the time that the characters were developed, but it does fit. It would be
interesting because what it is then is that Christopher Robin, who's the kid who believes in all of these other animals, that he's the one who has multiple personality disorder, or that he's got delusion and like grand delusions about everything. He's completely imagining a world where... Mm.
My granddad served in the war with Christopher Robin.
Really?
Yeah, and apparently the dude just went to pieces. Apparently he died young and alcoholic. He became a kind of celebrity because his dad's famous world-beating books were about him. He was the kid from the beloved stories.
A.A. Milne.
Yeah, he was the kid from the beloved stories, and he just like... He was like a, what do you call
it? He couldn't live up to it.
A Hollywood brat type of equivalent of back then.
Mm. Oh, jeez.
So your dad was in World War II?
My granddad.
Your granddad.
And he fought in like the chilled, he was like stationed in India waiting for war to break out where it didn't. So they played cricket and marched a lot.
My
other granddad was one of the first SAS paratroopers. But that's another story. Anyway, so he just knew this guy and the guy was just a mess and, you know, had a bit of money at his disposal, and I think he died in his 40s and broke and like not happy. So Christopher Robin went bad for Christopher Robin.
Shame.
Once he left the 100-acre woods.
Shame.
Oh. But you guys know all these cartoons, they're not accidental. I mean, I reckon all those disorders were very much the basis of his cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like SpongeBob SquarePants isn't just a crazy sponge. There's a reason behind those
what
characters.
Is it? What Can is someone that? Explain to me why SpongeBob SquarePants is...
Well, he was the first millennial. SpongeBob SquarePants was the first millennial.
What are you saying, Ben?
SpongeBob is so funny.
Really?
He Of course. He was like, he's all over the place. He doesn't know where he's coming or going, but he's kind of happy, but he's kind of sad deep down. He's got weird friends.
He wants to change the whole world, but doesn't want to have to do it himself.
Exactly. He's got a dead-end job. But he was the first millennial.
You guys are ruining cartoons.
Maybe you're onto something.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not ruining cartoons. Cartoons are... Everyone thinks, oh, it's for kids. Cartoons are amazing. Like, look at The Simpsons and what The Simpsons has been since day one. Look at South Park. Some of the cleverest pieces of anything in this world comes from animation.
But The Simpsons and South Park were never overtly aimed at... They weren't covertly aimed at adults. They were overtly aimed at adults. Whereas stuff like SpongeBob and... Do you think on your point about SpongeBob being the first millennial, do you think he was intentionally the first millennial? Like the writers and creators went, okay, we've identified this weird behavior in new kids. Let's make a cartoon of that. Or do you think it just so happened to be that way?
I reckon that was it. There was like, we need someone who's wacky out there and reflects society.
And anxious and wants the world to be better. The more
I think about it, and I haven't watched a lot of SpongeBob, but the bits that I've seen totally fits.
Yeah, I'll
totally
agree.
Fits.
But the argument...
I mean, it's just that it's craziness and the world, everything has to be crazy to stand out.
Yeah, it's funny stuff, though. I was literally thinking about SpongeBob for the first time in ages the other day. The argument that I read against the Winnie the Pooh hypothesis with all the different mental disorders, even though they fit with each character, is that very few of those were identified, diagnosed, or understood at the time that the characters were written.
Sure.
Yeah, there was no such thing as bipolar disorder when those books were being written.
So which one is the narcissist? Is it Tigger or Rabbit? Yeah.
Tigger's like hyperactive ADHD.
Right.
Pooh is, Eeyore's manic depressant.
Rabbit's got narcissism. One of them. Always holding
Piglet up. Has anxiety.
You are Piglet.
Thanks, yeah, that's very much you.
Yeah, I can't remember now, but there was a known disorder to fit each character. I didn't take into account, though, your observation about Christopher Robin himself having multiple personality disorder.
Mm. Wow. Okay, here we go. Christopher Robin has schizophrenia. Winnie the Pooh has impulsivity with obsessive fixations like ADHD. Piglet has anxiety disorder. Owl has dyslexia. Tigger has ADHD. Rabbit has OCD.
Oh.
That's her thing. Was
him.
It a him or him. A him?
Rabbit was a him.
Can't remember. Eeyore's depressed.
Yeah.
And Roo. Who is Roo? Oh,
Roo's
Kanga
little,
and Roo.
Yeah.
Oh, they have... Okay, Kanga has social anxiety disorder and Roo has autism. Jeez, guys. I mean, no. Please, don't
this guy
do
was
this
a visionary.
To me.
He was
no.
a visionary.
Yeah, I don't I know so much about autism, but I think also hyperactivity was meant to be Tigger's thing. But again, it's a loose theory.
Do you remember that messed up cartoon called Cow and Chicken?
Yes. Mama had a chicken. Mama had a cow. Dad was proud. He didn't care how.
That was one of the most
disturbed, messed up, insane shows.
So good.
And I loved it too, but the drawings were gross.
The parents were legs.
That udder was just too much.
Jesus, that cow had a big udder.
The parents were legs. That was it.
Yeah, we never got to see their faces, yes. Do you know what I loved even more in that show? Towards like the end, there were like the 5 or 10 minutes towards the end of that red devil with the big ass.
Yes.
That dude was clearly
he was the
gay.
Bad guy in every episode.
That's when I was like, oh my gosh, who is this amazing thing? I want to be like him because he had the sly, weird laugh. Pushed his ass in everyone's face. There we go.
Yeah, and they ate pork butts and taters. That was their like favorite child.
So weird, right? Such a weird
show. We watched
a
bunch of crap. Actually,
Ren and Stimpy was weird. Ed and Eddie was not as weird, but also pretty weird.
That was also
Ren and Stimpy was weird as
very
hell.
Very odd. Yeah,
Courage the Cowardly Dog was proper weird.
Mm. Someone says here, there's a book called Tigger on the Couch with all your favorite characters and their disorders, Michelle. That's helpful. Animaniacs was genius. Was
yes.
for kids and adults. So many raunchy jokes in there which flew right over my stupid child brain, Sean. Yeah, but if you go back and watch it now, you're like, wow.
Especially Good Feathers and Pinky and the Brain. I mean, that was just total genius.
Update. I installed and reinstalled the app and my life is normal again. Woohoo, says somebody. On WhatsApp, you know, we upgraded the app the other day and some people had problems and just... Uninstall and reinstall if you have a problem. Apparently that solves it, but most people are happy as can be with the app upgrade. It's been a long time coming. By the way, the main reason we did it was instead of putting a Monday to Friday lineup, aka like a radio station, we decided to categorize our content. So If you go in there now, you find business and entertainment and sport and news and, you know, those kinds of things. So the stuff that you need rather than doing it the way it suits us. You know, who cares what's on a Monday or a Friday? You should be able to find the stuff that you want when you want it.
You have broken free of the constraints of the calendar, Gareth.
That is correct.
Podcasting and downloads.
That is correct.
That's deep.
But just a lot of time with apps. I mean, for many apps, I sometimes have to delete them and reinstall them. So it's not unique to us.
Yeah, it was also a long time coming. I mean, we've been thinking about doing this for 2 years. It was just a question of like pressing go on the upgrade.
Yeah, it's also, there's so many operating systems and versions of operating systems that some things just like know to look for an updated app, and other things are like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this new universe that I'm stuck in?
What is it?
Yeah, where am I? What's going on?
Today's quite a big day. Ben bought a present for Daniela, and he reveals it to her today. She's arriving back from Cape Town. So we'll hear the stories tomorrow.
Yeah, so she's been away for like a whole week. I went to go see her for the weekend. And also, just sucks being by myself at the house. Like, Meows and I get bored. We just sit there.
Called me, Ben.
Okay.
Okay.
How are you going to help?
I'll come over.
And what?
I'll be a friend.
We're friends every Wednesday.
Hang on. I'll be a friend. The four creepiest words I've ever heard in my life.
After one person forces themselves onto the other.
You indeed. And then says. Me indeed.
Good thing is, I'm not lonely in life. I just like my girlfriend. So it's never for needing a person around me. It's just needing her, that's all. That's a big difference.
That might be the sweetest thing anyone's ever said.
Man, just always have to digest that. Hold up. Okay, so you won't reveal what it is, of course, today. Can you give us a little hint? Like, is it something sentimental? Does it have to do with 5 years? Is it your favorite movie? Is it...
Nice to be careful.
That's a nice complex range of questions. It's not got to do with 5 years.
Was it like an inside joke between the two of you?
It's got to do with us, and it's got to do with, I guess, the future. It's a variety of things.
Sounds proposal-y.
No.
Good.
It's an actual present.
Nothing was proposed.
It's a thing.
But I feel like Ben has a very obscure definition of romance as well. It would be like,
yeah, probably,
yeah, like, this is how much I love you, here's a new medical plan which shows that I care about your health, or I love you and want to see you in the future, so I've put you into my will.
See, that's a bit coarse, but I see where you're going with that.
Slightly non-stereotypical.
Oh, you're putting her in the will. Oh, that's nice.
There it is.
See? And then he would
Thanks,
say,
yeah,
like,
just,
it shows
just ruined everything. I'm going to present my living will to her. And there it is. Surprise ruined.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to. I'll keep quiet now.
So we know enough to know that this thing is happening, but not enough to have any kind of clue whatsoever. Nothing about the physical range of size of this object, if it's a traditional thing or a more technological thing.
Well, there was an assembly process the last few days, which has been quite interesting.
You had building to do, or at least assembling. IKEA furniture, treehouse, Wendy house.
God, you know, we shouldn't have opened up this can of worms. Yeah. We'll be at it all morning.
All I'm saying is, if you need someone to sing for the grand reveal, you can call me. I'm free later. Don't say it didn't ever help you out.
Imagine Sia pitching up and ruining the moment by filming it.
I'll film and I'll sing it.
Sia, that is so tempting and so sweet, but no thanks.
Have you sang a will before?
And now, the reading of the will.
Have you sang a will?
Will be sung by Sia.
I think that's
an honor. Of sound mind and body, to hereby bequeath my drones to Daniela.
Oh, that is actually a hit song waiting to happen.
Yeah.
My drones to
my
Daniela.
Drones in brackets to Daniela. by DJ Ben K on his comeback album, Not Dead Yet.
That's my new favorite song.
Oh, got it.
Bequeath my drones.
There's no more beautiful love song in the 21st century than that one.
No. I'd leave you my golf clubs, but they're getting buried with me.
There you go. It's like you've read it. It's like you've read the will already.
Oh, this is great. Oh, no, that's terrific.
Any other gift apart from this now will actually be anticlimactic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you guys have ruined it. No matter what I've done now, it's actually just second prize.
Hope you know that.
It's okay. I deal with disappointment on a daily basis.
I spoke to a friend of mine the other day. He just got back from a holiday. Now, who takes a holiday in March?
People who work in December.
You did. Where did you go?
Barcelona.
That
was in December, January, and again in March.
Of course, you went again.
Yeah.
And how's that looking? How's that relationship looking?
It's a little bit kind of deformalized now. But I won't bore you guys with the details. But it was a very, very good trip. But it was kind of a... And I'm not going to go into it, but it was kind of a... Things are quite... long distance is difficult, so we kind
of difficult.
Dialing it back. But it was a brilliant...
You're talking relationship here, not talking about global travel.
Also difficult, especially if you're in economy and you're really technically two people with one head. But it was a really, really fun trip.
Speaking of which, someone says, do you remember that cartoon called Cat Dog?
No. What was Cat Dog?
Oh, like that animal and then half...
But it didn't have an asshole, so everybody wanted to know where it sat, because it had half a cat.
Where was I? You like, I watched Dragon Ball Z and smoked blunt for pretty much my whole 20s. Where was Cat Dog?
How did you miss that? Yeah,
that
was from Simba. He says,
"Oh wow, yeah, Cat Dog had no asshole." Just
great to hear you guys live for the first time in a long
while. That thing. I'm looking at Ben's computer, seeing the picture. I've seen that thing, but didn't know if it's amazing.
it's amazing,
scientific property.
If they both eat, where does it go? But I mean, kids don't think that.
No, kids don't care. It's a strange looking thing, man.
But can you imagine being
like a
three?
Long sausage with a dog's head on the
Siamese
end.
Sausage dog.
Can you imagine like being 3 years old and you turn around to your mother and go, "Mom, I'm like, where does it shit?" And that's when you know you got a genius child.
Oh. Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, then the child is a born curious biologist, right? Cat dog. What a straight... Now imagine the messed up human being who came up with that idea.
Does anybody remember a cartoon? And I actually just incidentally saw a meme in the last couple of days saying like 17 years ago. So assuming that's true, it was 17 years ago. Called Invader Zim. It was very short-lived. They made like 2 seasons of it. Now there's talk of doing a movie. It was so far ahead of its time.
What was it?
Invader Zim was, there's this intergalactic alien empire, and their like hierarchy is based on who's the tallest. So the emperors are the tallest. Yes, my tallest. And Zim is short, and he's not very bright. And to give him something to do, they send him to go and occupy / invade Earth. But... You know, it's because they don't really care, and Earth's a shithole, and it's like, well, just let's get rid of this annoying...
But they have the simplified idea that everyone who's tall is important.
Yes, and you have to, like, bow before them, like, yes, my tallest. Anything you say, my tallest. Okay. And the tallest send him, and then he's got this, like, robot that's meant to help him called Gurr. But Gurr is, like, massively defective and just completely doesn't work properly. And it's, like, it's really deeply very funny. It's a huge cult classic, but, like, it just... And it was a little bit clever for kids, I think, and also like a little far ahead of its time. But if you ever get a chance, you find it streaming anywhere, watch an episode or two of Invader Zim. It'll either grab you or not. But if it grabs you, you will rue the fact that they only made 2 seasons. It's very funny.
Wow. That sounds incredible. I love it when
my tallest
loser weirdos end up winning in a movie.
Oh, he never wins, but he tries. Hey.
Oh, shame.
How crazy.
All right, so listen, there's lots to get into this morning news-wise. I suppose we should head into that ASAP. So coming up, the 5 things you need to know. Also, later on, you know, we've been talking to the guys from One Plan, and we're going into sickness season now.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are very, very pissed off about this. But what are the big trends when it comes to the illnesses that people get over the winter months? And... what can you do to prepare yourself so that you don't get sick if you could possibly avoid it? And there are ways. So we'll talk about that a little later on, and plenty more between now and 9 o'clock.
Oh, it's the middle of the week.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Sia, how did the Prisms go yesterday?
Very, very cool. The Prisms, of course, happen every single year.
These are the biggest PR awards in South Africa.
Yeah,
right?
We look at the different big campaigns over the last year and in different categories, from campaign on a shoestring budget to and, but I got to judge the big one for the second year in a row, which is the campaign of the year, South African campaign of the year.
Very nice.
Yeah, so we look at different things. There's criteria like the planning that was put together, the seeing the opportunity in the challenging space of PR and how that all goes together with the innovation and the research and the execution as well. It actually gets kind of heated because when you think about it, these are the big brands.
So how many judges are there?
Probably there were like 8 or 9 of us.
Wow.
How many of them did you like?
Before or after the fact?
Does it get quite heated on opinions?
No, it really does.
Do you have to have consensus?
You all have to agree? We do judge by a rubric. So being able to look at different criteria and we all mark and it works out with an average. But you can't help but get your emotions involved as well. Because ideally, right at the end, you'd like to all just agree that this is the number one. But you know, with some campaigns, they tick off certain things on the boxes, but they're just amazing as well. You know, it's either they spread an awesome message or they made people think about something that they've never thought of before. You know, we live in a time now of different social issues as well. Or trending topics and waves, yeah. And that is how you can also make impact through PR. So yeah, it seems like a whole bunch of terminology, but
did you say a rubric?
Rubric.
Please, what is a rubric?
R-U-B-R-I-C.
Like I do not know this word.
Spelling's not going to really help. Oh, no. I mean, we're both pretty curious.
Rubric
as to what
is like, oh, if you spell it like that, suddenly I know what it is. What
like
is
different criteria. So, for example, our judging sheet is comprised of...
Is this like judging jargon that you guys now use with other people?
Guys, I am sorry. I did not mean to be fancy here.
You did. You're just being patronizing.
No, not at all. But we look at different things.
Irony.
For example, like...
Are you going to sing another song, Gord?
That was the Lord above, actually.
Gord is brimming over with songs this morning.
Yes. I'm not complaining. So what is it? Like it's a judging sheet with different things you
yes.
can do?
Yes.
That's called a rubric.
Yeah. You look at the different criteria. So we have a mark out of 10 for research, a mark out of 15 for planning, a mark out of 25 for evaluation and execution. Yeah. It's really great because you have these people as well. For example, let's just name any brand. You have Cliff Central who did an awesome campaign and they come for 45 minutes and they present their campaign to you. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed that some of the food brands didn't bring their food because I just wanted to eat.
So that thing with 10 for originality, 10 for presentation, 10 for effectiveness, out of 100 is your score. That's called a rubric.
Yeah.
It's like a set of it's your to-do list, basically.
Marks broken down. Yes.
Listen, speaking of marks broken down and speaking of the tallest, did anyone see Mark Zuckerberg testifying before Congress? Because there might have been something that slipped past you. If you see the pictures of him, he's sitting on a suitcase on a chair. Because even if you're worth gazillions, you're still pissed off that you're short.
I didn't even know he was short.
He's short. 5'7", apparently, which is not that short.
It's not terribly short.
But look, sitting on his briefcase on a chair because otherwise he would have been too low at the table and doesn't want to appear to be too low in a situation like that because he's already being nailed by Congress.
Wow. There he is, literally sitting on a suitcase.
So even if you have gazillions, you still can't get the right chair in the right occasion.
But, you know, his species is used to being quite low, so it's obviously important that he keeps pushing the height thing.
His species tend to sun themselves on a rock before they go in to speak.
Making triangles with their hands, using that to channel the sunshine directly onto their faces to warm their poikilothermic blood.
I mean, with all of his billions, he could not get something customized for him.
Well, that's what you'd think, right?
High-pressure sodium light permanently hovering above him with drone power.
You know how we all think, well, if I were in that situation, I hope I wouldn't be nervous. He was worried about looking short. That just shows you, you know, you really can be in that rarefied world of Silicon Valley, and everyone at Facebook praises him like he's some kind of god. I told you that when I went to Facebook. That was the thing that struck me first.
Hail Zuckerberg, hail!
Yeah, they do. They worship him. And he's sitting at this desk like any of us. And just because he's worried about looking too short, he's sitting on his suitcase.
I would use my money for evil. I would use my power for such evil. I'd look at the judge in the eyes and I'd be like, Gerald, I know. You know. And that would just be enough. And he'd be like, right, case dismissed.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering.
I just want someone to seriously look him in the eyes and say, Mr. Zuckerberg, you speak with a forked tongue. Somewhere in this whole trial, I want to hear that line.
And he'd go, that's ridiculous.
No, Clarice, that is incidental.
That's ridiculous.
All right, let's get into the five things you need to know today. May as well make this a useful morning for you. Where should we begin? First...
Okay.
First and foremost, do you know the guy who took that video of AJ Gupta?
Oh, yes, in Dubai.
In Dubai.
Uh-huh.
And then sent it to all of us where he asked Gupta, you know, aren't you meant to be in South Africa? They're looking for you there. Turns out he has been arrested.
The guy or AJ Gupta?
The guy who filmed him. The man who recorded the video of a relaxed AJ Gupta in Dubai last week has apparently been arrested, seemingly for filming without permission. Department of International Relations and Cooperation spokesperson Divuo Mabaya said its consular services section confirmed South African businessman Justin van Pletsen's mother had been contacted and that she claimed her son has been arrested in Dubai. South African embassy there is not aware of the arrest, has been requested to confirm this with local authorities in that country. We're still awaiting a report from the embassy. However, a friend of his confirmed the arrest to News 24 and said that the family would wait for further details from his court appearance.
That's crazy.
Remember, he made the video where he filmed AJ and said to him, the country's looking for you. Gupta, who shook van Pletsen's hand, replied that South African authorities had not yet given him a reply. The day they give a reply, I'll go there, Gupta added. And they were both very relaxed filming this. The Hawks have not yet revealed what Gupta's wanted for and said that the charges were not related to the Estina Dairy Farm project in Frieda. On February the 14th, they conducted raids at various locations in connection with investigations into that Estina Dairy Farm. And they arrested 8 people. But one of them was not obviously Gupta because he's over there. So who knows what's going to happen there. But isn't it bizarre that he gets arrested? The guy's film. You made a video. You found a known felon and you interviewed him in public, and that's a problem. That's a bigger problem than the felon.
Is that what he's arrested for, though? I mean, you never know. Maybe they found like a weed seed in his suitcase or something.
Well, why wouldn't they say that then?
Well, it was probably put there. Yeah. Okay, that guy was filming AJ. Put like a ton of poppy seeds down his pants.
Maybe. The official memorial service for Winnie Madikizela Mandela is going to take place at Orlando Stadium on Wednesday in Soweto. That's the official memorial service. Government moved the memorial service from Regina Mundi Catholic Church in Soweto to the stadium. So that's been confirmed. If you are going to go.
Oh, that's today.
Mm-hmm. She died on April the 2nd at the age of 81 after a long illness. And the EFF are holding their own memorial for her, trying to get in on the action.
For what?
Yeah. But they're holding it in Brandfort, where that house that she was in is empty and dilapidated, thanks to Ace Magashule, the one that Trevor Manuel went off about at the first memorial service. You know, there are a lot of memorial services. I've got to say, I was talking to someone. Winnie Madikizela Mandela spent most of the last couple of years on her own, apart from family, obviously. All these people who are suddenly all emotional about Winnie dying. She was, most afternoons, you could have just walked in and knocked on the door and said, I'm here for tea, and she would have probably let you in. She didn't have a lot of visitors. There wasn't a lot going on. Of course, she had security, so you couldn't just walk in, but she wasn't busy every day. And she was there, and she was alive, and you could have met her. And a lot of people who are now wailing and gnashing their teeth didn't think one thought of Winnie for the last 5 years, and suddenly that I think part of it's guilt.
Sure.
I really do. I think part of the reason so many people are reacting like they are is guilt. They ignored this woman for a number of years.
Yeah, I mean, it's also obviously a legacy issue. It's like, you know, a lot of people just respectful of what she did in her life and not necessarily sad because they can't phone her twice a week anymore.
Absolutely. No, there is that. And for the family, there's no doubt that this is a very, very sad time, and they're having a tough time dealing with it, I'm sure, because she was the pillar of that family during some very, very tough times. While we're talking about tough times, Lindiwe Hani says she's no longer seeking answers to her father's death. Now, I heard a lot of talk yesterday from Bladen Zimande and from other members of the SACP about getting the truth about Chris Hani. It seems like... You know, Clive Darby Lewis and Janusz Walus were sent to jail. Clive Darby Lewis died in jail, I think, a year or two, maybe more ago. And Janusz Walus is still in CMAX in Pretoria. Now, I don't know whether that trial was conducted scrupulously. I can only imagine it was, because it was of such importance at the time. I was too young to be paying attention to a trial and whether or not I interpreted it to have been free and fair and without bias and without prejudice and, you know, good representation on all sides. But those are the two men who are supposedly responsible for the death of Chris Hani. Now, there are a lot of people who say there was a whole conspiracy behind those two, that there were a number of people who wanted Chris Hani dead that didn't necessarily come from the right wing, that might have come from within the ANC-SACP alliance. Now, if that's what they're referring to, maybe we should keep scratching. Maybe Bladen Zimande has a point when he says, we want the truth. And he's talking about Janusz Walus, who's never spoken about this. I think Clive Darby Lewis might or might not have written some stories and might have written a book. I don't remember. I haven't read it. But wouldn't it be interesting if so many years after this iconic Chris Hani's death, there was a whole conspiracy that unraveled? Don't you think?
Jeez. Wouldn't be surprised, though. I mean, stuff was so, like, clandestine and cloak and dagger back then.
25 years ago that he was killed in Benoni at their house. And that house is apparently going to be turned into a memorial. So that's going on. Anyway, the daughter of Chris Hani, that's Lindiwe Hani, she says she's not that interested in seeking any more answers around the circumstances around her father's death, but will never forget the pain that it caused to her and her family. That's what she had to say. So she's moved on, at least from the looking for answers thing.
You have to try, just for yourself.
And Zuckerberg, who we mentioned just a moment or two ago, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, resisted efforts by U.S. senators to commit him to regulation. Investors were impressed with his performance. Shares in Facebook gained their biggest daily gain in almost 2 years, closing up 4.5% higher than what they were at the start of the hearings. He navigated through the first of two U.S. congressional hearings without making any further promises to support new legislation or change the social network in the way it does business. During nearly 5 hours of questioning by 44 senators.
Wow. There was no one else who was called up to.
Isn't that what Hillary went through as well?
I don't know.
Hillary sat there in front of this big table.
I think she did with the Benghazi hearing, right? Yeah. Zuckerberg repeated apologies that he previously made for a range of problems that have beset Facebook, from a lack of data protection to Russian agents using Facebook to influence the U.S. elections. But the 33-year-old internet mogul managed to deflect any specific promises to support congressional regulation of the world's largest social media network, which I think is a good move on his part. Last thing you want is to allow government to run private enterprises. Investors were impressed and shares went up. They fell steeply last month after it came to light that millions of users' personal information was harvested from Facebook by Cambridge Analytica. And the other thing that you need to know this morning, the oldest man in the world. Do you want to guess how old the oldest man in the world is?
114.
Close.
Ben, how old are you?
Joking. I love you,
too,
Ben.
Those are your dying breaths, Ben.
Serious death is humor.
Masazo Nonaka, who was born on the 25th of July 1905, took the title after Francisco Nunez Oliveira of Spain died this year at age 113. So there have been people who've lived longer, but the current oldest man in the world is 112. Yeah. So think about this. The best you can do right now is to live as long as him. So if you are 50, you're already past the halfway mark. Well, 56.
Yeah. No thanks.
Uh-huh.
I don't have that ambition.
He's 112 years old. He was born months before Albert Einstein published the special theory of relativity. Jeez. And he was recognized on Tuesday as the world's oldest man. Isn't that interesting? He's a farmer and a lumberjack in his youth, obviously, not now. But he ran a hot spring inn in his town, hometown of Ashoro on Hokkaido Island, 900 kilometers north of Tokyo. He raised 2 sons and 3 daughters. He enjoys dipping in a spa. He's fond of sweets, especially strawberry sponge cake. And he was joined at an award ceremony on Tuesday by relatives and officials. The Guinness World Record for the oldest man who's ever lived is another Japanese man who died in 2013 at the advanced age of 116 years and 54 days.
The Japanese are doing something right.
That's it.
Or they got dodgy home affairs officers who kind of give you these birth certificates after a certain age.
Because I'm sure as well, after 100, dementia set in, you aren't really sure whether you're coming or going. They can tell you you're 200 and you'll go with
it. Yeah, but also the Japanese seem to have a decent understanding about stress.
Do you know how old the oldest human being that's ever lived is?
115.
Methuselah. People in the Bible lived to be 1,000.
Yeah, someone in the Bible. Methuselah was meant to be 956 years or and whatever.
Obviously, that's true. So Methuselah.
No.
It's the Dalai Lama. He's like 720.
Yes, but that's in each different life. You're adding them together. Now, the greatest authenticated age for any human being is 122 years. They cut off her leg and then they counted the rings. That's how you can be sure.
See what you did there. Usually there'll be one ring, but it's just above the leg. Yeah. I notice how what? Ben's first instinct is like sketchy home affairs.
Yeah.
Like immediate distrust of the system.
122 years. It's a woman called Jean-Louis Calment of France who died in 1997.
In a town with 3 horses, a donkey, and a phone box.
Quite possible.
Yeah.
All right, those are the 5 things you need to know today. Do you care about cryptocurrency?
We need to make a decision on this because this is the most half-assed feature that the show has ever had.
I'm trying
except
to do it
for when it was like the biggest news in the whole world. Like,
yeah, but it's like that's like saying, well, you know, do you still care about the Spice Girls? There was a time when we did, but it's.
Do you care about? Did you ever care about the Spice Girls?
See ya.
You know, that's an obvious yes.
Okay, well, here
I think
it is.
You should just save a slot for CrossFit, veganism, and crypto. And cryptocurrency.
Okay, well, just for shits and giggles.
Make an acronym and make that a feature.
Here it is, $6,832.77 for Bitcoin. Ethereum will cost you $413.41. And, God, Ripple, 0.48.
How is Bitcoin relative to when it was at its biggest?
No, it's not great. But if I go back for much, much longer than that, if we go back, you know, all the way to this time last year, it's still up.
Ah.
But it's if you compare it to December, like the first week of December last year, it's come down enormously. It's probably down about 90%.
90%?
On December.
It was like it's worth a tenth.
Well, it was worth almost $20,000. Now it's worth $6,830.
Yes.
So it depends on when you bought exactly.
Yes. And that was when the hype was like the biggest. Yeah. So people would have rushed out and bought then.
That's it. That's exactly what happened. But it isn't at the lowest point it's been, because the lowest point it's been was somewhere around $5,000 not so long ago.
But it's probably not going
anywhere.
And
I'm talking about
right?
this year.
It's probably not going
well,
anywhere.
Well, you don't know. I don't think it's going to disappear. And I think that ultimately the idea behind it is still very valuable, so we'll have to see. All right, on to Ben. Let's see what's going on in the world of sport. Do you still like that ridiculous introduction music that we pulled from a TV show?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, there we are.
Costa Semenya has won her first gold of the Commonwealth Games down in the Gold Coast in Australia.
Nice.
She won the 1,500-meter race in a new African record, a new Commonwealth Games record. She did it in a shade over 4 minutes. So up until yesterday, Zola Petersen, do you remember Zola Budd, that barefoot chick, because she went to England or whatever? She held the record for 34 years.
Really?
That snip of a human being. So Costa did it. But as with all of Costa's golds, now comes the controversy. People are crapping on it about the hyper-androgynisms and all these other different things. And it all comes back to the same things, that people have these theories and they have the science they say, and then the IAAF's like, well, we know we're looking into it, blah, blah, blah. It's such a sad old story. But why does it keep coming up? Costa's done nothing wrong. She was born. She is who she is. That's her life, okay? She's not a victim here. I mean, she's not a suspect or anything nefarious, illegal. I mean, she's not like an Australian cricketer. Because of social media, she's constantly under extra scrutiny. I mean, back in the 80s and 70s, half of the women on the track team had Adam's apples. In the 1972 Munich Olympics, there were urinals in the women's bathrooms. I mean, can we just leave this woman alone now? Unless the law comes in and the IAAF are going to be really confident about what they've got and what their findings are with this whole hyper-androgynous thing, it's just flogging a dead horse. I know if Caster was British, everyone in South Africa would be going, oh yeah, it's bullshit, she can't run like this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know there's double standards at play here, but we've just got to bring it down. When in doubt, okay, when in doubt, try this. Bring it down to the human level. What has Caster done to deserve the scrutiny? All of this horrible negativity thrown at her. Yeah. Absolutely squat zero.
Okay? She was born like that, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just like Christina Aguilera said, she was born this way, and therefore...
I think it was Lady Gaga.
Okay, yeah. Guys, that's not really a good thing here with semantics.
Well, just you ruined it.
Thanks, yeah. She is, she's free to run, and she's running, she's winning.
Yeah, there was an interesting argument about like gender reassignment and sport. So, for example, there's a women's MMA fighter that in her 20s stopped being a man and stopped being a man who did MMA and became now a woman who does MMA.
Yeah.
Does she fuck up all the guys?
Z is not allowed to compete in the UFC, but Z competes in smaller organizations and is just like completely indestructible. Like no woman MMA fighter can even last 5 seconds. I forget the name and whatever. It's Googleable. But anyway, moral of the story is, a man decided to get gender reassigned and now is like the most indestructible woman in MMA. So that's different. Whereas Caster Semenya is born the way she is. She's genetically gifted, mm-hmm. and she rules at running, and people must leave her alone. Unless they can be born better.
That's her superpower. We've all watched Heroes. You remember Heroes? That series Indeed. Where people develop these mutations and these differences and... that became their strength.
In the paper tomorrow, Gareth Cliff calls Caster Semenya a mutant.
Imagine.
But guys, I mean, as much as she ran a really great race yesterday, she was 10 seconds behind the world record. It's not like she's ruining the sport and decimating everything going
here.
It's still essentially competitive. Yes, she's just better.
Also, like you said, Ben, I mean, the record was Zola Budd for like decades.
Oh. 34 years, Gord. The record was almost as old as you, basically.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
See, good maths, man.
Good point. Good maths. But I mean, look, there's lots of positives to be excited about in the Commonwealth Games right now. The South Africans are doing well. Clarence Munya and Anasa Jobbedwana, they won the 200-meter heats yesterday, so they're progressing through. The sprinters right now, as I've been saying for months and months and months leading up to this event, they are the ones to watch, and they're looking so good. And there's going to be the 4x100 men's relay later in the weekend. That's going to be just exceptional because our guys are looking solid. They're looking really good. In the swimming yesterday, the men's 4x100-meter medley relay final, South Africa got a bronze there. The Aussies won that with England coming second. And, this weekend we'll see the Blitzbox, so more medal opportunities there. The Blitzbox will be defending their Commonwealth Games title, which was won in Glasgow 4 years ago. So they are lumped with, who they're playing? They're playing Malaysia, Papua New Guinea, and Scotland. They're in Pool A.
I love the Blitzbox. Love them.
Everyone does, Gord. So Saturday, 14th April, they'll kick off their whole campaign there. First game will be against Malaysia. That's 4:05 in the morning, South African time. Now, last night in the football, the Champions League quarterfinals, everyone kind of expected, well, Barcelona and Liverpool would ease into it. Liverpool, yep, they beat Man City 2-1. Pep Guardiola lost his shit and was sent off at halftime after mouthing off to the ref. So he watched the second half from the stands. As Liverpool, well, they're just good. So they've gone through the semi-finals on a 5-1 aggregate. Roma, they had to play against Barcelona. The deficit was 4-1. Roma said, that's okay. They won 3-0. Barcelona are out of the Champions League, just like that. Obviously tied in aggregate, but the precious away goal for Roma. How absolutely incredible. And, well, many are saying that the thing about Barcelona is that when Messi's playing well and he's scoring goals, there's no questions asked. Everyone's just, yeah, this team's so great. But when you really break it down, this poor guy, he's been carrying this team for so long now, and he's just running himself into the ground. Like, he will, you know, we talked about people getting really old, like 116-year-old men in Japan. Lionel Messi will probably break down at the age of 71, and his dying breath will be, could they not have just bought more players to help me? Because he's just basically going to die. I mean, he's going to die young. He's just given so much to Barcelona, and Barcelona essentially child-slaved him. Let's call a spade here.
It's not like they don't have other good players. Barca's got a hell of a team, I think.
But where are they, Gord? Where are they? They went missing again last night.
Yeah, the fact that they don't always turn up, but it's not like he's one good player amongst a crew of sixes out of ten.
Sure, he's no Harry Kane, but whatever. But it's just that these guys...
Mo Salah, for another example of a one-man team.
He carries this team. That's all he does. It's just like Argentina. He carries the team and then Higuain kicks the ball into row 7 while taking a penalty. This guy's entire career is literally just him and things on his shoulders. At least for Ronaldo. I mean, the guy's great, but other guys try to rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
So that's
imagine the almighty coup if, like, and it would never happen, but just imagine if they came with like a squillion bajillion euros and bought Messi at Real Madrid and just like obliterated the universe.
So everything would collapse.
It would collapse.
It'd be like
world.
A neutron star.
I think La Liga's got a secret clause in place that those two can never play on the same team because you've got to share the superstars.
It would ruin everything,
So speaking of Real Madrid, they are, well, I guess you can make them favorites to go through now for the Champions League because everyone was hoping this was going to be the year these two teams might just get somewhere towards the final and then be the big showdown, Messi versus Ronaldo. So Ronaldo will take on Juventus tonight, otherwise known as Real Madrid will take on Juventus tonight. Real have already got 3 goals to the good on that one, 0 for Juventus. And then Bayern Munich, they'll play against Sevilla, 2-1. They are currently leading that one. Both of those games will be 8:45 South African time. Hey, what else you want? Well, Jeff Crow. We all know who Jeff Crow was. He was the guy that thought Kagiso Rabada was malicious, violent, and just uncontrollable during the second test between SA and Australia. So much so that he then banned him for two games. Now, all these different findings are coming out around the whole suspension process, the ICC review process, and I'm not going to go into it because it's all water under the bridge now. But Jeff Crow, the match referee, said he's never seen such animosity on a cricket field in all his years than was happening during that test series.
Really?
Never. Never, ever. And I tell you what, it's all down to David Warner. And that's not me being a one-eyed South African. That little toss bag, he made that series what it was. So I've got no sympathy for the Aussies. And I still believe, and I said it right here on the show, you go back in the podcast, that the moment that he acted up and was goading Quinton de Kock about his name, de Kock, and de Kock just uttered those simple words about his wife being a slapper, that was the very moment that series turned. And what happened after that? They won the next 3 test matches. It was pretty simple.
Proves it's a psychological game.
They walked into it, so I've got no sympathy for them. But yeah, lots to look forward to in the Commonwealth Games. We are obviously finishing that up this weekend, so there'll be loads of great finals. Caster runs again tomorrow. That's where she starts for her 800-meter campaign. And it's just a bloody exciting time in sport. So
fantastic.
There'll be more. There's IPL in the background if you're into that. Otherwise, there's golf. There's the España something tournament happening tomorrow where loads of European stars are playing. And then rugby will get into Super Rugby as of tomorrow. Yeah, I think that's it. Champions League tonight. That too.
All right. Somebody says here, with so many apologies from Zuckerberg, we must now call him Sorryberg. There's a defamation show in Dubai, rather law in Dubai. Anything that you post on social media defaming anyone else, even if that someone is in the middle of doing something criminal, gets you locked up.
The businessman who was.
Right. And then someone says, with a picture of Zuckerberg sitting before Congress and he's pulling this really strained face, and someone says, that face you make when you just wanted a faster way to rank girls by looks and ended up installing a fascist government in the most powerful country on earth.
Your burn. Yeah, quality burn.
Well, they at least still believe that Mark had good intentions. You guys, on the other hand, well...
All right, well, let's get to Said by Sia for this morning and see if you have good intentions, Sia.
I always do. I can answer that for my damn self. Folks, this is kind of uplifting. When we think about great, grand, traditional education institutions, the likes of Yale University, for example, what are your connotations? What do you think the most popular classes at Yale University are?
Law.
Beer pong.
No, I don't think it'll be a serious subject. I think it'll be something in the humanities. Mm-hmm. And it's something dumb and ridiculous that people take because it's easy. I don't think it has anything to do with the advancement of humankind, with science, with mathematics, or anything difficult.
There was no organic chemistry, no 19th century literature. It's actually Happiness 101.
Yeah.
There we go.
See, stupid.
Can you get a degree in happiness?
What, like it's laughing in a circle kind of thing?
Happiness 101. Listen to this. Approximately one in four undergraduates enrolled in the class for this spring semester. That's nearly 1,200 students, which is the largest enrollment reported for a single class in Yale's 317-year history. A psychologist professor there, Laurie Santos, offers the twice-weekly lecture to teach students how to live more fulfilling and satisfying lives. Y'all, sign me
up. I would laugh my ass off, though, if they all arrived there thinking this was going to be like some, like, oh my God, a safe space. And it's like, right, we're going to explore philosophical, like, analyses of what it means to be happy in the context of a nihilistic world, starting with the early Greek philosophers and moving through to, like, and everyone's just like, here's your seven phone book sized textbook. Yeah. There'll be tests every hour. This is the hardest course in all of, like,
it's now that would be interesting.
I would love
God,
that.
I swear you're actually onto something here.
And what it all boils down to, sorry, Sierra, is that, like, the final kind of summation is that, like, happiness is a human construct, doesn't exist. Life is suffering, and the meaning of life is death.
Okay, not that conclusion. But when I say you're onto something, I mean, the psychologist professor actually says that it's not as easy or simple as people think. The class focuses on positive psychology, exploring the characteristics that help people flourish as well, and also taps into behavior, which is the habits and the actions that lead to real happiness. So students have to take quizzes on all of this, including a midterm exam as well. So it may sound simple, but as some of the students might think, but actually the professor calls this the hardest class at Yale. So,
okay, so there are two parts of this argument. I mean, one half of me says the pursuit of happiness is in the U.S. Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It's a founding principle of the United States. So if pursuit of happiness is a real thing, then studying the pursuit of happiness ought to be as well, as a very serious concern, right?
Well, the nature and definition of happiness, rather.
Right. So that's cool. I don't know what the substance of this course is.
Yeah.
But the other part of me says, if I were a parent, my child came home and said, I want to study happiness, I would immediately withdraw funding.
I might be like, yes, my child, all I really want for you is that you be happy and don't support City or Liverpool.
Well, they aren't running around and hugging trees, folks. They're actually doing proper work. You know, one of the courses within everything is called the Science of Well-being. And the purpose of the course is not only to learn what psychological research says about what makes us happy, but also to
putting
put the strategies into
putting the
practice.
Words, the science of, before a thing that is not scientific, does not make it scientific.
I would love it if, like, if, like, little Reginald Cliff comes to dad and says, hi, dad.
Reginald.
And Gareth goes, yes, son, I've chosen my courses for your 400 squillion rand Harvard thing that I've managed to get into.
Yes.
I'm doing happiness. I'm studying the science of well-being. I'm doing safe spaces 101. I'm learning kindness with my words. And I'm gonna do my major in, like, yoga tranquility and not being stressed. And then maybe if I've got time for extra credit, I'll do chilling 101, but I'm going to see how that goes.
And then Papa Cliff would say what? To
my
Reginald.
Son, to the salt mine with you. I'm stripping you of all of your privileges.
Yeah.
And no. you shall listen to nothing but jazz flute while you mine.
Jazz flute.
Gareth will send him to a polony factory to work for 3 years. Yeah, now you're going to learn about
an enterprise, not one of these Lardy Polony factories.
No, the one with the listeriosis in it.
Yeah, it'd be a one with no labels on the outside.
Yeah, the one that's right next door to the listeriosis
mine.
A
no-name brand, Polony.
Well, I like
the Polony that other Polony laughs at and looks down upon.
In conclusion, you
sorry,
sad,
Sierra, we always try to hijack
people.
This feature.
No, I
only because
it's
interesting.
I like this because of when you look at the scope of culture and how there's a lot of unhappiness in the world.
No,
I think it's
no,
good that
no, no.
people are placing importance on their happiness. So yes,
don't
that's
disagree.
Your advice, Sierra, for this morning.
All right. I mean, if
look at the numbers on mental health. And look at the substance that this course
often,
has.
That's
Thank
often
you.
Got to do with things that have nothing to do with happiness. Depressed people don't have a problem understanding happiness.
Dad, I applied for the science of hashtag offended, but there weren't any spaces left in the class. I was too late. Sorry for letting you down.
Don't compare such superficial things to the science of happy. Happy 101, folks.
You know, if you
happy
just,
101.
I hate to say this because I studied international politics, history, and some languages, so I'm not against the humanities, but my God, there's a lot of wasted time and effort in humanities. Universities are always held back by the humanities departments and always thrust forward by everyone else. Really, that's the truth. The humanities department
the application
is a
of
nest.
It. Yeah.
It's a nest of stupidity by comparison with any other department. You really think the engineers and the architects and the scientists and the mathematicians are bothered about the crap that the humanities are talking about? Do you think it makes any difference to them? No.
No, look, more than that, I've always been a person interested in humanities, and I've changed my course twice to what I'm currently studying because of the fact that, what are you saying to me in these books? Yeah.
Also, things like philosophy and various other, you can study them as hobbies. The more esoteric stuff as well, you can just grab some good books, read
but through
them, get it
surmised. But you're not going to be able to get a home loan on a philosophy degree.
No,
why not?
You can read, you can go there's places where you can go and discuss philosophy that you don't need to be doing it at. It's almost like saying I'm going to get a degree in crocheting. It's a hobby more than it is a...
If you have a child, if you're listening to us now and you have children at Varsity, or if you're at Varsity yourself and you are studying politics, political science, international relations, these are things I studied, I'm embarrassed.
I'm studying international
gender
relations.
Gender studies, or any of those, someone is wasting money.
Unless it's required peripheral shit for a law degree or something like that.
Yeah, well,
that you have to do in order to do something cool.
What a lot of crap!
Hey, you get an economics module in international relations. I'm just putting it out there. Economics works.
Apparently, Sean Archer is a leading happiness researcher at Harvard. Fascinating studies. He has a TED talk and goes into statistics on how happy people are more productive. So maybe that's a good.
It would be hysterical if he hated his job.
Why do you guys always have to look and think of the worst?
We haven't studied.
No, we're thinking of the best. This is funny.
Because we also come from the previous old Verkrampter generation that didn't get to study happiness.
Don't make yourself sound like you suffered through the Great Depression.
You lived in the lives of
Madonna. I didn't have happiness when I studied, and that's why I came out curmudgeonly.
See, you know what the greatest happiness is?
Do you tell?
Success. So when you
finish your actual definition of success.
No, when you finish an actual degree, there's the greatest amount of happiness. When you get into a career, there's happiness.
If that's your definition of success.
Oh, there we go. You see, Ben.
Yeah.
Fighting back.
Some people, that's not their definition of success.
Sure. Until they get to an age where they understand what life's about.
Not
and then
at all.
They'll get that.
I would dispute that to the end. Some people's definition of success is just getting married. And
yes. Until you get to an age. Husband. Until you get to an age where things...
Don't mock me. All right, let's go.
This is CliffCentral.com.